The sermon for this Sunday is The Valley of the Shadow of Death, Psalm 23:4. This psalm is often called the Shepherd's Psalm, which is a misnomer, for it is not the shepherd, but the sheep who are speaking here in this psalm. So let us read this here in your Bible, Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After stating in verses 1, 2, and 3 that the Lord is watching over him and caring for him, and be his protector and his defender, and make all things work together for the good of his saints, these saints of the Lord utter a phrase that jumps out of the page and catches our attention. He said in verse 4, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Today, I would like to look onto this one verse, 23:4. There is enough material here to fill our minds, and therefore the title of this meditation is The Valley of the Shadow of Death. This sounds like a very somber and dark subject matter, but actually there is a great deal of joy and comfort in this. So we're reading Psalm 23, verse 4. Yeah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It is the shadow of death. So we ask ourselves, what is this shadow of death? What does God really mean by that expression? Let us find this out by comparing this with another verse containing the same expression, the shadow of death. So let's turn into the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. 6 months before the birth of Jesus and the birth of John the Baptist, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied concerning the ministry of his child John, and praised God for bringing him deliverance to his people by sending the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Zechariah said in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let us consider this verse very carefully. Who is really God speaking about? For whom did God send the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist into this world? God sent them to all those who are going to be saved by the cross of Christ. God sent them to everyone in the world who will be saved for the teachings of John and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the gospel that is able to change our soul, and then we will be new persons in the kingdom of Christ. Then who are those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death? The answer is, we were those people before we heard of God's salvation through the cross of Christ. We were sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. And what was the purpose of Christ coming? Luke chapter 1 verse 79 says, to give light to us and to guide our feet in the way of peace. What peace is God talking about? This world has not known peace ever since its beginning. For God says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And thus, the peace that God provides through the preaching of the gospel is peace with God. And thus, we who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death are living in this world. It is this world that is called the valley of the shadow of death. What does God say in Psalm 23 verse 4? Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which means that while I walk through this world is unto me like a valley of the shadow of death. Not only do I have to face death one day, for my own physical death is hanging as a shadow over me, but I am surrounded by people who are in various stages of death. For example, please turn in your Bible to the Epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You find Ephesians in the New Testament. After the narrative gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find the Acts of the Apostle. Then the letters of the Apostle Paul, beginning with Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians. Then Galatians and Ephesians. To whom was this letter written? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, we read, to the saints which are at Ephesus. These saints are the saved people at the church at Ephesus. And to these saints God wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we read, dead in trespasses and sin. God says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you who were dead in trespasses and sins has God made alive. And if God says this of the saints at Ephesus, then he certainly said it of me also. I too was dead in trespasses and sins in time past. What does it mean that I was dead? It means that in God's eyes, I was spiritually dead and totally unprofitable. It means that in God's eyes, I was a stinking corpse, and I was about to be cast into hell, so that God does not have to endure any more the stench of sin and death. When Adam sinned by eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of God of good and evil, he died spiritually. And from that point forward, all his posterity came into the world dead in trespasses and sins. That is the first reason why this earth is called the valley of the shadow of death. We all were born dead to God. And we all were on the way to hell. Notice that the end of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, we all were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We all were by nature under the wrath of God, but then God made the Ephesian saints alive. For we're reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You who were quickened, which means you who were made alive. Does God make every human being alive? Absolutely not. Adolf Hitler, who started the Second World War and who died by killing himself and Eva Braun, died unsaved. He was never made alive to God. But almost everyone believed that he's going to be resurrected and will made alive to God. For God is a righteous judge, meaning a just judge, who will demand an account of everything, even as a sin as small as an idle world. And that's on Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Nobody gets away with anything. And so, it has always puzzled me that most people believe that God is a righteous judge and that in the life hereafter, he will punish the sins people have committed in this life. And even though most people believe that there is a life hereafter, and most people believe that there will be a judgment for sins in the life hereafter, yet most people make no preparation for the life hereafter. But God, who is full of mercy, has given us the way to eternal life with him, here in the Bible. And yet, the Bible is an unread book in most households, even though God gave us the warning not to die like Adolf Hitler. So God says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And so, what is the way to eternal life? So we have to look on the last verse. God says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. What does really mean? The definition of grace is unmerited favor. And what is the unmerited favor that God is giving us? It is faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, for it is a gift that is not earned or deserved. And so, what is the faith that God gives us? It is the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us on the cross to take away all our sins. Did Christ do this for every human being on this earth? Absolutely not. From the action of Adolf Hitler, we can conclude that he did not receive faith as a gift from God. And since he died as an unsaved man, we can conclude that Christ never paid for the sins of Adolf Hitler. There are people who believe that Christ suffered and died for every human being, but that is an absolute impossibility. For then, hell would be filled with people for whom the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died. And that would make Christ a very incompetent Savior who failed more often than he was successful. No, we do not want to lower Christ to that level. Moreover, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 7, John 14:7, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This means that many nations who lived and died before Christ came into the world about 2,000 years ago, lived in a Christless universe, and thus there is no salvation possible for them. But when God gives us faith, we will know it, and our entire life is changed. We become new creatures in His sight, for we will love Him more than we will love our fellow man. We will love Him and search to be obedient to His word at all times, not because we have to, but because we want to. And so, here is a characteristic of someone who has been saved. This person has an unquenchable desire to read and study the Bible, for he or she loves the Lord and loves to do anything that is pleasing to God. God requires, for the righteousness of God, He requires that everything must be paid. If we have to pay for our sins, it takes us an eternity in hell to make a full payment. But Christ was also able to do it for us on the cross in less than 24 hours. But we do not want to take Him for granted. We want to love Him and serve Him for the rest of our life. This is our commitment. Our confidence is not in what we have done, but in what Christ has done for us. Let us now hear the conclusion of this matter. What have we really learned so far? We have learned that the valley of the shadow of death refers to this earth, and that all men are by nature subject to the spiritual death that God imposed on Adam when he sinned. The death of our body is only a natural consequence of the condition that we were by nature dead in trespasses and sin. But for those who ignore God and who take Christ for granted, a more fearful second death is in store, which is the death of being cast into hell forever. But God, who is rich in mercy, provided an escape through faith in the cross of Christ. And so, let us return now to Psalm 23:4. Please turn again to the prophecy of the Psalm 23:4. If God indeed has saved us by His grace and has given us faith, like we're reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, then Christ is with us, and we are in Him. And then we can sing with David in Psalm 23:4. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou, God, art with me, and therefore I fear no evil, for Thou art always with me. Therefore, we can boldly say with the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 6, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will never fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our merciful God and Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for giving us this Your church where we can come and exalt Your name. We pray that You will let this church be a strong voice, crying in the wilderness of this world. We also pray that You will help us to reach men in this world through the CD ministry and also through the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing hymn 361, please. Hymn 361.
No, let me get a...
No, no, that's fine. We've seen verses.
Savior now and ever,
praising all beneath the skies, prostrate lying, suffering, dying, on the cross a sacrifice, victory in life obtaining, now in glory he does rise. Man's work faileth, Christ availeth, he is our righteousness. He, our Savior, has forever set us free from thy distress. Praise his merit, glory in merit, bread and ease and happiness.
For his favor, praise forever, unto God the Father sing.
Praise his Savior, praise him ever, Son of God, our Lord and King. Praise the Spirit to Christ Mary, he doth all salvation bring. Please rise and let us sing hymn 459.
That's really high.
Let us sing 459.